The next question I have to ask is, how did you become an occasional octopus whisperer? Because, oh my God, like, you can't put that in your bio and not have people ask.
Well, okay, so I don't know if you can see it. So that's an octopus tattoo.
Okay. So, and an octopus tattoo on your upper arm.
Yeah, on my upper arm, if you're not watching this, but
yes,
you should.
The
audio version is, there's it's sunlight coming through and it's dappling across this octopus. I'm a scuba diver.
Okay.
I really did believe when I was young that I was going to be a marine mammal biologist. That was my destiny. I watched Jacques Cousteau and I was all about it. And then life happened and I wasn't all about it. It wasn't until later in life that I got into scuba diving.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Michael Dargy. My next guest is a storyteller, creative instigator, occasional octopus whisperer, we'll have to talk about that one, and founder of Make More Creative. He mentors with Calgary Economic Development and Canada's Trade Accelerator Program and speaks regularly at incubators, colleges, and universities. He's the author of Brand Jitsu, Move Your Brand from Meh to Memorable, a methodology that helps companies find, shape, and share their stories so everyone gets it. He's also a creative chaos agent with Loose Moose Theater and Drop Bear and Panda Productions. And I love the names of both of those. And the host of the multi-nominated Rebel Rebel podcast. His name is Michael Dargy. And in this episode, we dive into the power of sound and storytelling, branding, and bold creative expression. From podcasting to performance, he shares how voice and sound shape everything he creates, emotionally, strategically, and playfully. You'll hear how his experiences as a comedian, filmmaker, and entrepreneur all connect through the thread of sound. And whether you're a fellow storyteller or just love great audio, you'll leave this conversation inspired to find your own voice and maybe stir up a little creative trouble while you're at it. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available, along with other interesting bits of audio-related news. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. Now, here's my conversation with Michael Dargy.
Thank you for joining me, Michael. This is going to be a lot of fun. I appreciate your taking the time.
Jody, thank you. Oh my gosh. I'm so stoked.
It's great to have you here. Finally. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a minute, as the
it
kids
has.
Say.
It has been a minute. Yeah. I like to start these conversations with a question about an early memory of how sound moved you. Do you have one of those early memories?
Yeah. I couldn't picking one will be tough, but
you can talk about more than one.
Okay. So picture, if you will. So a young lad, we just moved from, just outside of Toronto to Calgary. And, we had one of these huge stereos, like it's wood. And by stereo, I mean, it was like you put records on it.
I remember those. Yes.
Yeah. And my mom, for whatever reason, had Marty Robbins Gunslinger Ballads. So it was this album, like both sides, like it just, and it went through all these gunslinger stories of down in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with him. Right. Like, so I would put this on and I would just be enthralled, and I just basically had my head by the speaker and I would just listen to these songs, these stories, and just get lost in the moment. I would let my brain drift away and see it all happening. And maybe it's because we moved to Calgary with Cowtown, right? It's a Western province as opposed to Ontario.
Probably.
You know, so I don't know. Anyway, so that's a formidable memory that I have of sound.
What did it cause in the rest of your life out of curiosity? More curiosity based on music or like?
I think stories. I think that just understanding how stories come together, probably, like if you look back on everything I've done in my life, has always surrounded this idea of storytelling. And so I suspect that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
And Marty Robbins, come on.
Too true. Yes. Of course. Yeah. So the next question I have to ask is, how did you become an occasional octopus whisperer? Because, oh my God, like, you can't put that in your bio and not have people ask.
Well, okay. So I don't know if you can see it. So that's an octopus tattoo.
Okay. So an octopus tattoo on your upper arm.
Yeah, on my upper arm, if you're not watching this, but you should.
Yeah.
The audio version is it's sunlight coming through and it's dappling across this octopus. I'm a scuba diver.
Okay.
I really did believe when I was young that I was going to be a marine mammal biologist. That was my destiny. I watched Jacques Cousteau and I was all about it. And then life happened and I wasn't all about it. It wasn't until later in life that I got into scuba diving. And on the west coast of Canada, we happen to have, the giant Pacific octopus. They're everywhere. So I have been diving with them. I have interacted with them. I've hung out with them. I love them. They're smart. They've got like 9 brains. You know, each arm has its own brain. It's like distributive intelligence.
So cool.
I know. And they can recombine their RNA at will based on the environment that they're in.
Wow. Like
yeah, they're fascinating creatures. To the point, I do not eat octopus. I do not eat squid. I don't eat cephalopods. It's an agreement I have with them.
Total sense.
Yes. I don't eat them. I will get taken up by a salmon one day, probably.
That'll be ugly.
A little dramatic irony, but yeah. It probably that'll be what gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I love octopus. I think they're really, really smart. They're creative problem solvers. They are, they're wild. Love them.
I can see why you love them. Yeah, that is a really interesting trait in a creature. And I can see why that would be so fascinating, definitely, especially if you're with them.
Yeah. And they're like, so I had a person I was diving with, and she was like, okay, so we're going to see these octopus. I'm like, okay, cool. She goes, if they get huggy, just make sure you hold your regulator into your mouth. And I'm like, what? Because they'll
block it.
Well, they'll wrap around you. They'll pull it out of your face. So now you can't breathe, and they'll like look at it and do stuff. So,
okay. They're curious.
Yeah. They're curious.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good trait to have, I think, for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so speaking of that, you also label yourself as a creative rebel.
It's true.
So I'm curious where this comes into sound, because, of course, we talk about the power of sound and how it influences us on this podcast. So when you talk about yourself as a creative rebel, where does that fit in with sound?
Well, and I know you know this, but sound makes everything look better.
True. Yes, I get it.
There is nothing worse than bad sound on anything, because you notice it first. It will now color everything that you see, inappropriately, appropriately, like that. It matters. Everything, everything we hear matters. So as a creative rebel, I mean, I guess I look for ways to tell stories through all the different mediums we have available to us. And when it comes to sound, you can make people feel stuff that you can't do otherwise. Do you know what I mean? Like you can draw a pretty picture.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. Yeah. I'm curious if you have an actual example of something like that that you've done with any of your own work.
There might be many. Well, there was a project I was working on, and it was for a company, and they called Ucasa. And the idea would be, it was going to be like an AI SaaS app that you'd take a picture of stuff and you could, you know, add a window or whatever. And there's no budget at all, which is one of my favorite things. I love it when there's no budget because that makes you do things that you don't normally do. So I wrote this script for it. And I think I was using Storyblocks and Epidemic Sound. So those are some of my royalty-free places that if I can't hire an actual artist, and we do have artists in town that I use quite regularly, but in this case, no budget. I had to get it done. So I wrote the script and I got to voice it all myself. And it was just so derpy. Like I just had so much fun with this script and I could just sort of play with it.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's awesome.
You know, and just sort of drop a track behind it. And it was an animated piece. So I had a friend of mine who's quite a talented artist draw it based on the read, which was also pretty wild. Like sometimes you come at it from a different way. Sometimes the artist does the thing, then you match the read to the art. Other times you know how it goes. Anyway, I had so much fun with it. It was so stupid. I loved it.
So it's stupid because of this script that you voiced yourself, or what?
Yeah,
what happened?
It was just I don't know, because I had to do my own Foley as well.
Okay.
So there's some sound effects, right?
Like, talk about working on a budget. Yeah.
I know. So it's just like, you know, there's a part where like the person cleans a mirror, and I actually did it. So I was just making this shit up, pardon the language, as I was doing it and doing the read and watching back the thing that we were creating and just adding these little moments that I think are just charming. Hi, my name is Michael Dargy. I'm the host of the Rebel Rebel podcast. I'm also an author of Brandjitsu, Move Your Brand from Meh to Memorable, available wherever you get your favorite books. Also, if you go to the website, brandjitsu.com, you can buy a signed copy there. And if you use audiobrand15 in the coupon code field, I'm going to knock off 15%. Right off the cover price. Cover is like $24.99 minus 15%. And then just shipping is on its way to you. Absolute pleasure to be here. And thanks so much.
Well, yeah. I mean, it builds in an environment to what you're putting out there. It's not just a flat piece that, you know, you want people to experience something. It's not just visual. It's an all around thing.
I love this idea that you could probably close your eyes and see it if you didn't watch it. That makes sense.
It totally makes sense. Yeah. And I know that you know about that because of podcasting as well. So I know you're also a podcaster.
It's true.
And I mean, you must build in audio particular moments in your podcast.
Oh my God.
I'm curious how you work that in your podcast. Because I know everyone does it differently. So I'm curious.
Well, so we did a podcast called Drop Bear and Panda Save the World. So that was myself and my girlfriend, and we ran 90 episodes, ended in the mid-pandemic. I think we were just like, oh, we're done. It took so much effort. It was a big, heavy lift every episode because...
Now, what were those episodes about? What was the podcast about?
Well, the podcast was we would take whatever was happening in the world that week. And we'd basically hit the headlines. So it wasn't evergreen content. It was what was happening in the world. And
Oh my God. I don't know how you'd keep that going today.
Yeah. Yeah. So our job was to find these people that were doing cool shit. Again, pardon the language. And then what we'd do is we'd celebrate them. And we'd be like, you know, these people are doing, like, this person's got a chicken ranch. And they, you know, rescue chickens or whatever. Like, it was just... whatever. We'd just find the obscure, weird stuff that was happening. where people were making the world a better place. And we, it was a Friday sock company was one of our sponsors. So we'd then send them socks out of the blue, you know, just be like, hey, thanks for being awesome. Here's some socks. but we would go through and we would do these little momentary breakouts where we'd grab some like Monty Python. I got so many cease and desist letters from Monty Python.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness.
Well, and
I mean, they're so quotable.
I know. And we'd grab like little, it's not like we're making money off this at all. Like it was, we weren't, you know, at one point I just decided, screw it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to grab these little sound bites. We're going to drop them in. And I sent them all apology letters. Like every time I would get one, I'd be like, I'm so sorry. I understand this is probably just a machine sending these out. We mean no disrespect and we are not profiting off of your intellectual property. We just think that it's hilarious to add English kniggets to just that little thing. Anyway, so that's what we did.
Yeah. And you have another podcast now, right?
Yeah. The Rebel podcast, going into season 9 shortly.
Wow. And how many podcast episodes do you have in a season?
30, give or take.
Okay. And yeah. I'm curious what constitutes a season for you, because lots of people have questions about this. I don't have seasons. I just like have numbers and they just keep going up. So I'm always curious as to what makes you decide to do a season and how do you like start and end a season? Like, where do you decide that?
Yeah. So awesome question. I just chose a number. And I said, it's going to be between 24 and 30. And that's what it's going to be. And there's no rhyme or reason to it other than I just need a start and end point. If it goes on forever, I panic. what did my son call me? Like an anxious bag of water.
Okay. I mean, I guess we are mostly water.
I know myself and I know that if I don't have some framework, if I don't have guardrails, then I get anxious and I don't know how to start and end things. So I need that. It means nothing.
You don't start at a particular month and end at a particular month. Yeah. It's just 30 episodes or 24 to 30 episodes and however long that takes.
Exactly. And right now we're currently doing 3 a week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're producing, we're kicking out episodes. So I mean, that's 10 weeks. Math.
Way better than me.
Yeah. And honestly, everybody that comes on the show is interesting. They have their just amazing stories. So I'm not trying to bake it into a particular narrative. It's for creative rebels and entrepreneurs, people that go left when people go right. You zig when others zag. And I'm curious about that story. So if you fit that model, then you'd be a great fit to the show. And I can't wait for you to be on it.
I am looking forward to it. Yeah. There's so much to talk about.
Right?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Zigging when others zag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened in your life that made you this way? Like, one of my favorite questions is, what happened to you? Why did you do this?
What's your trauma? Yeah. It's an interesting question. Yeah. Kind of like the first one I always ask. I mean, I think we all have our podcasting directions and the way that we tend to lead things. So yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure people have very interesting answers for it too.
Yeah. And you never know what you're going to get either. A box of chocolate, you know?
So true. Yeah. So when you talk to creative people on your podcast, and you do live performance as well, right? Like you do some comedy as well?
So I haven't done stand-up comedy in quite a while. I think I'd done 15 shows, I think, where I've done stand-up 5-minute sets 15 times, and they were all equally terrifying.
I can imagine. I wouldn't even try it.
I'm starting. So I do improv at a comedy place called Loose Moose in Calgary. I haven't been on stage for a while. I tend to do, like, I'll direct shows there, and I'll be in the annual Chris Moose Carol. Our take.
Put I more love the name.
Right,
it's just so much fun. Yeah,
it's and it's we would do every year the Chris Moose Carol would be done in a new genre. So last year we were pirates. So what would happen if, you know, Dickens wrote a pirate story?
Oh my goodness. I can only imagine.
It was so
I
fun.
Should have been there.
So fun. I don't know what we're doing this year. I can't wait to find out. We sort of find out in the last possible moment, and then we all know the story that we're going to tell because it's Charles Dickens. And we all know the characters we're playing. I think I played 7 characters last one, if I remember correctly. So you're doing, like, wardrobe changes as you walk off stage. You're
That's
basically
hilarious.
Stripping down and putting on the new thing and coming back on stage as a whole new character. It's so fun.
I can only imagine how much fun that is. Yeah. Wow. And improv must inform a lot of what you do, though. I mean, even being on mic for your podcast, I'm sure that helps.
Yeah, I think it's the whole, it's cliche, but the yes and thing about improv, I think it's been overused or certainly over talked about lately, I think, because maybe I'm just used to hearing it, but it is a huge part of it. Like, you agree to what's happening and then see where it goes instead of blocking the scene or stopping the action or not seeing where it's going to go. You'd be like, you know what? Heck with it. Let's find out. Yep, you're right. I'm a one-legged pirate. I'm a parrot on a pirate's shoulder. And I've just stolen a map. Sounds like fun.
That's, oh my God, that's funny. Okay. I would love to see that on a stage.
Me too.
I can just imagine. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Darren Barino. I run a boutique ad agency in New York City. In my quest to find smarter ways to persuade people, I've found that sound is an invaluable tool. It lets us slip past resistance, tap emotion, and move instinct, often before words even land. Learn about this and more on the Audio Branding Podcast.
So you have an agency as well, right? So I want to get into the branding aspect of this as well. So we've gotten to all of the things that influence everything that you're doing, which is a lot. And I'm sure that it has big bearings on everything that you offer to your clients. So when it comes to sound, how does your agency deal with that? How do you deal with branding in a way that is full circle? Like,
sure.
Using all of the things that you have available as opposed to just, like, visuals?
Yeah. Okay, so shameless plug.
Go for it.
So I wrote this book called Brand Jitsu, Move Your Brand from Meh to Memorable. And it specifically speaks to, I'm just going to find a page for us here. To this idea of, and again, if you can't see this because you're listening to this on Spotify or whatever, it is a picture of the world's cheesiest metaphor, which is an iceberg. And the top of the iceberg is the stuff that people see or hear or interact with your brand. What's below the surface are all the things that matter and enable it to be there for you to enjoy. So this book is all about all those pieces below the surface. I care a lot about above the surface. But I care more about below the surface. And
well, it informs everything above.
Absolutely.
Right? So yeah, I guess sound is in the bottom part.
Well, and if you, like, so I was a teacher and a dean for this applied multimedia training centers. We had a classical animation and a digital animation faculty. And one of the things when, I mean, people are learning how to draw and they're doing stuff, they're doing cell by cell animation and flipping and stuff like that. This was around the time when Jurassic Park first came out. And the power of a T-Rex's footstep hitting the ground, which causes the ripple in the water, right? You don't even get to see the T-Rex yet. It is, and it's one of those things, oh my God, like, think about, we just watched the 50th anniversary of Jaws
So I was going to say, Jaws does exactly the same. You don't see Jaws for most of the movie.
For most of the movie. Yeah, but you hear the...
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it's sound... Oh, see, I get chills. It just like just from that thing. There's so much that sound does to inform what's going to happen, what might happen, what didn't happen. You know, like, and it's just such a beautiful medium that I think that if you don't know, you take for granted. But if you do know, you're like, oh my God, we can build this into the whole fabric of this thing. Disney does, and not just Disney, but Disney, we're deconstructing Tarzan. So this is Glenn Keane basically rewrote the rules for animation for Tarzan back in the day. And we started deconstructing the color boards that they used for inspiring, you know, when things light up, when things get dark, when whatever. And the music follows a very similar pattern, like the bright notes versus the dark notes and, you know, the subtle tones and that that lives below, right? That subtext. Because I think music and sound becomes a subtext, which makes us, it contrasts sometimes what we see. And it's, I think the contrast is the most important part of any experience that we have, is what are these things? Why are they pulling at each other?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, but I get what you're saying. And yeah, movies, I mean, they rely on all of this coming together, and you wouldn't notice it so much unless it was bad. That's the thing about what we're expecting, right?
Yeah.
Because we take it for granted that sound is just going to be there and it's always going to be in our, peripheral vision, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
But it's always around. And the only time that you really notice it is when it's bad. Because when it's good, it's just part of the experience.
Yeah.
It makes you feel more.
Yeah. When you're saying that, and this isn't an example of bad, but a Pulp Fiction, like the soundtrack and everything in Pulp Fiction serves the story in a way that it's its own character.
Yes. Yeah. And the soundtrack of Dune. Have you ever, goodness, like that is a character all of its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something made differently, deliberately, which I admire so much. Like it's just, it's
love
beautiful.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.